from Cairo. And he was educated in Egypt, and he gained his early notoriety as a Talmud Chacham in Egypt. Rabbeinu Saadia is different than almost any other person that we can discuss. I would say that the closest kindred spirit to Rabbeinu Saadia would be the Rambam, in the fact that in later centuries he would be called a Renaissance man. There is nothing that Rabbeinu Saadia didn't know. There was no field of human intellect or endeavor that was not familiar to him. And his greatness in Torah was such that he saw everything through the eyes of Torah. And he was an integrated personality. Sometimes you have somebody who is a great Torah scholar and he's a great secular scholar, and you have two different people. Depends when you catch him. It's not really... we all know that Jews can be different in the synagogue and in the business place. Jews can be different at home. We all have a little bit of schizophrenia within us. But throughout the centuries, there have only been a few rare individuals who have really been a whole person, a well-integrated whole personality, and who did not see themselves in compartments and in parts. The Rambam did not see himself as a doctor and a Talmudist. The Rambam saw himself as the great Torah scholar of Israel, and medicine was one facet of Torah scholarship. And therefore, we don't find within him any hang-ups or dichotomies or split personalities. Well, Rabbeinu Saadia is that type of person also. Rabbeinu Saadia was a linguist. He knew Arabic, he knew Hebrew, he knew Latin and Greek. He was an astronomer. He was a philosopher, having read all of the great philosophers of Greece and Rome. He was a mathematician. He was an unusual person, to put it mildly. And because of his greatness and his greatness in Torah, by the time he was 25, he was well known throughout the Jewish world, to such an extent that when the Gaon in Sura passed away, there was nobody that the Babylonians found. The Igeris Rabbeinu Shuragon tells us that there was no one that the Babylonians found whom they felt would be worthy of the post, and therefore they did something that they had never done before. They went outside of Babylonia to import the man to be the religious head of Babylonian Jewry. In order for us to appreciate that, that would be like... I mean, Babylonia held itself to be the acme, the pinnacle of all Jewish life. And its yeshivas were the highest, its stature was the highest. And to import an outsider was really unheard of. That's why Rabbeinu Shuragon mentions it as a notable event, that they went into Egypt and they brought Rabbeinu Saadia. There are others who are less charitable to him in that respect. It could be a little of both. And say that the competition within Babylonia was of such a nature that he was a compromise candidate. Rather than go through the terrible hassle of having to decide between powerful factions among Babylonian Jewry, the greatness of Rabbeinu Saadia made it possible for them to smooth the matter over and bring someone who would be acceptable to all and would be that type of a great person. Rabbeinu Saadia had a very stormy life. He was a man of controversy, and he was always involved in disputes, major and minor. That's a product of the times and also a product of a person's personality. And I want to discuss with you tonight three major disputes.